The following is a recording for Juan Carlos Gomez Dunk from iAdvise on Thursday, October 20th, 2016, at 10 a.m. Central. This is the Unifin Third Quarter 2016 conference call. Good morning, and welcome to Unifin's Third Quarter 2016 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Juan Carlos Gomez-Dolk of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Unifin Financiera's earnings call. This morning, Unifin Senior Management Team will discuss the company's third quarter 2016 consolidated results per the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received the earnings release, please contact the Investor Relations Team at Unifin or contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3692 to obtain a copy immediately. During this call, management's comments may include forward-looking statements which are subject to various conditions and factors. As such, they could differ materially from those expected. We ask that you refer to the disclaimer found in the earnings release distributed for a complete note on forward-looking statements. Joining us today from Mexico City are Mr. Jose Maria Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer, Mr. Luis Barroso, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gerardo Mieri Terán, Corporate Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sergio Camacho, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. David Pernas, Investor Relations Officer. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Jose Maria Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer, who will begin the presentation with a discussion of the company's results. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Welcome and good morning. Thank you for your interest in Unifin. I will begin with the company's operational highlights for the third quarter and the solid first 9 months of 2016. And we follow with a summary of the financial results and the conclusion. We will gladly open up for the floor for questions. Regarding operational performance and growth drivers, during the third quarter, Unifin successfully navigated a particular complex international and domestic economic and political environment. This environment added significant pressure to Mexico's exchange rate and interest rates. And despite the volatility, Unifin once again achieved outstanding results and surpassed quarterly expectations. In summary, the company generated total revenues of 2.6 billion pesos, up 49% compared to the third quarter of 2015. In terms of the nine-month revenue figures, these were 6.8 billion pesos, up 45% year over year. As for the portfolio, at the close of the third quarter of 2016, the company's total portfolio grew 62% to 27 billion pesos from 17 billion pesos a year ago, all the while maintaining its historical low non-performing loan ratio of only 0.6%. This brings me to a quick recap of the debt restructuring. In accordance with the current economic environment, Unifin recently restructured its debt profile in order to further strengthen its capital structure and lower financing costs. Though, on September 8, the company initiated a tender offer of its outstanding international senior notes due in 2019. This offer was subject to the company's success in issuing a new bond. The tender offer accounted for $316 million, equal to 86.2% of the total outstanding amount of the 2019 notes, which surpassed our expectations of reaching 65% of the tender. The new outstanding amount of these notes is now equivalent to $50.6 billion. Following the tender offer, on September 22nd, Unifin issued a new senior note for $400 million at a U.S. dollar fixed rate of 7 1/4. We with an extended 7-year maturity due in 2023, significantly improving the company's maturity profile. It was a successful transaction, which was evidenced by the book being oversubscribed 3 times. It is important to mention that all of the company's outstanding U.S. dollars denominated debt, including principal and interest for both issuance, is fully hedged all the way to maturity. Lastly, following the 2 successful transactions, Unifin also renegotiated the interest rates and foreign exchange terms of the outstanding 2019 notes and improved the conditions for the 2023 notes. This was possible by using the positive mark-to-market valuations from the cross-currency swaps that were in place to hedge the 2019 notes at a variable rate and swap into a fixed rate for both transactions. The improved hedging conditions consider fixed Mexican peso denominated rates of 8.3% and 5% on the 2023 and 2019 notes, respectively, shielding Unifin from future FX volatility and potential interest rate hikes. We are pleased with the results of the transaction, which were in accordance with the strict risk management policies of the company. At this point, I will move on to the operational summary, where we review the company's operational achievements. During this quarter, Unifin originated new business across all of its products. The ongoing strong demand from the SME sector continues to feed the company's origination in its 3 segments. First, leasing origination increased 56% year-over-year, representing 72.6% of the total portfolio by the end of the quarter. Second, factoring operation volume grew 30% for the same period and now accounts for the 9.8% of the total portfolio. Lastly, auto loans increased operation volume by 43% from the third quarter of 2015 to the third quarter of 2016 and represents 17.6% of the company's total portfolio. These solid achievements were driven by Mexico's resilient SME sector. Similar to prior quarters, Unifin approved only 37.5% of its backlog. For the rest of the 2016 exercise, we expect additional portfolio growth generated from the opportunities identified by our intelligence team and the networking and business abilities of our more than 202 sales offices representatives. Moving on to our geographic footprint, it is my pleasure to inform you that we now have a new regional office in San Luis Potosí in the Bajío area. Though expanding our presence throughout Mexico in order to attend the growing SME market, during the first half of this year, we also relaunched our regional office in Querétaro and open a satellite office in Toluca in the state of Mexico. By the end of the quarter, Unifin has achieved a healthy and diversified portfolio. The company has almost 5,000 clients, up from 4,500 at the close of the first half of 2016, none of which represents over 1.3% of the total portfolio. Similar to prior quarters, over 84% of our clients have approved credit lines for up to 7.5 million pesos. The client breakdown by region is evenly spread across economic sectors, while geographically a larger portion is located in the fast-growing metropolitan areas of Mexico City and Monterrey. The regional offices represented close to 35% of the cumulative origination for the year, supporting our efforts to continue expanding Unifin's footprint across the country. Even though growth continues to be steady, Unifin has maintained a portfolio quality. By the end of the third quarter of 2016, the company's non-performing loan ratio is at a historical low of 0.6%, improving 18 percentage points from the non-performing loan ratio reported at the close of the second quarter of 2016. Also, the allowance for loan losses coverage for the companies of NPL was 101.5% as of the 9 months of 2016. As we have discussed on previous occasions, Unifin follows a strict approval process when originating new businesses, which is further supported by an effective collection process. These NPL figures are a reflection of the company's financial health, one of its main business pillars. Now let us move on to discuss how Unifin funds growth and supports its strong portfolio origination. First, Unifin has secured size a portion of its portfolio at a very low cost as part of the company's long-term Certificados Bursátiles Fiduciarios program for up to 10 billion pesos. These securitizations are non-recourse to the company, so they are efficient and cost-effective way to raise capital. All of the securitizations have obtained a local AAA rating by Standard & Poor's and HR rating, thereby contributing to the company's low interest expenses. Also, as we discussed before, Unifin has two fully hedged international senior notes amounting approximately $450 million. The recently issued 2023 notes were rated BB at a global scale by both Standard & Poor's and Fitch Ratings. At this point, let us move on to our financial performance summary for the third quarter of 2016. Total revenues for the third quarter 2016 reached 2.6 billion pesos, up 49% compared to the third quarter of 2015, driven by solid origination activity in all segments. The nominal financial margin achieved during the third quarter rose 9% to 605 million pesos. Relative to total revenues, the quarterly financial margin was 23.7%, while the cumulative margin for the year is 25.3%. It is important to consider that for the better part of the second quarter of 2015, and the third quarter of 2015 also, the company benefited from the proceeds of the initial public offering, the IPO, which resulted in a significantly lower interest expense during this period compared to 2016. Additionally, the variations in the nominal margin were due to higher financial liabilities incurred during 2016. We support our growing operation as well as due to the increase in the reference rate TIIE during the period, though affecting some funding costs. From an operational point of view, as we have discussed before, the company's financial margin variations each quarter are in fact by the recognition of leasing income based on the exact timing of the closing of contracts, as well as other conditions established in the operations with our clients. This year's results are solely based on recurring income. However, it is important to recall that last year's results included non-recurring items such as the mark-to-market valuation of our cross-currency swap and the gain from the repurchase of some of the notes of 2019. As you may remember, during the third quarter of 2015, Unifin discontinued treating the cross-currency swap as derivatives with trading purposes, and these are now treated as derivatives with hedging purposes. For this reason, we are no longer booking non-recurring income in our P&L, and the company's quarterly results reported during 2016 are fully operational. Administration and promotional expenses for the quarterly period increased 2% as a result of the new portfolio origination. However, relative to total revenue, OPEX decreased from 10.5% in the third quarter of 2015 to 7.2% in the third quarter of 2016. The improvement is a result of a strict expense control policy in order to run a lean and efficient operation. The company's efficiency ratio was 31.3% in the third quarter of 2016. Operating income for the third quarter of 2016 was 401 million pesos, 13% greater than during the third quarter of 2015. Finally, Unifin's net income for the quarter was 359 million pesos, up 38% from 261 million pesos reported in the same period of 2015. Both figures do not include non-recurring items and are fully operational. Now let's go to the balance sheet item. At the end of the quarter, under discussion, Unifin had 1 billion pesos of available cash and equivalent and approximately 12 billion pesos of available funding. Non-bank debt represented 18 billion pesos, including 9.5 billion pesos of our leasing ADSs and the international note issued. The total bank debt was 7 billion pesos. Unifin's total net debt position resulted in a financial leverage ratio of 3.2 times compared to 2.2 times 1 year ago. This ratio is calculated as financial liabilities excluding securitization over shareholders' equity. The increased leverage is driven by higher operational volumes, which require additional funding during the quarter. Regarding our financial performance ratios at the close of the third quarter of 2016, Unifin's ROA was 3.9% compared to the 5.3% at the close of the third quarter of 2015. And the ROE was 25.1% for the 9-month period of 2016, both of which met our expectations. The variation in the financial performance ratios is explained when considering the accounting methodologies used to calculate the company's average capital base for the past 4 quarters, which is greater than that of the same period of 2015. As a summary, and before moving to your questions, I would like to share with you that during the third quarter of 2016, Unifin was recognized by the London-based Global Banking and Financial Review with the award for Best Leasing Company in Mexico 2016. We believe that this award evidences all our hard work in this sector, work that we will continue going forward for the benefit of our stakeholders and employees. Unifin maintains a strategy based on prudence and continues to closely monitor the factors that affect the SME market and its operations. We believe that we have been making the right decisions in terms of successfully managing the current risk. This is proven in our continued ability to grow, to generate profits, and to continue strengthening the financial structure of the company during not just this quarter, but throughout the year and hopefully going forward. We also continue to uphold our long-term growth vision for the business based on a very positive outlook to maintain our leadership in the non-financial leasing market of Mexico. This concludes our presentation. Thank you all for your attention. And at this point, we can move to your questions. Please, operator, proceed with the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Thank you. We now have our first question coming from Carlos Rivera from Citi.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is regarding operating lease income. The leasing portfolio is growing very strongly, 17% quarter-over-quarter, almost 60% year-over-year. But leasing income is growing below that pace, almost half that pace, actually. I know that this might be partially due to some leases generated towards the end of the quarter that might not generate the income until the next month, but I just wanted to know if there is anything else that could explain this big difference. So basically, any color you can give us regarding the pricing and the spread for the quarter. And I'll ask the second question after. Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. No, we don't see any big changes in the strategy and in the way that we've been doing our leases. So we will continue with the same prudent strategy, with the same type of origination, and we will continue to do so.
Okay, so basically you see stable pricing and stable spread so far. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, that would be a fair assessment.
Okay. My second question is regarding the sensitivity to higher interest rates. So after this bond that you issue on the hedging strategies, I understand that now part of your funding is at a fixed rate. So I estimate that at around 30 to 35%. So is that reasonable to you? Does these numbers sound reasonable to you? And if you could share with us the sensitivity to higher interest rates, how much does your interest expense goes up by each 100 basis points that the interest rate goes up in Mexico? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. As you may remember, since the hike of the rates from last year, Unifin started a new strategy starting 2016. During January, we increased our interest rates 100 basis points. Then in June, we increased again the rate with 50 basis points more. So far, the impact in our income has been nil. However, if we haven't done anything starting January, the impact could have been close to 7% of total income. But that is not going to happen due to the increase that we made during the first semester of the year. As you all know, Unifin always tries to get ahead of all these circumstances, and we did so, and so those 150 basis points are calculated in all new originations starting January and after June 2016.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John Haug from Morgan Stanley.
Hey, good morning, guys. Congrats on a good quarter. If the interest rate question's already been asked, I wanted to ask about what's your potential outlook? It might be a little early, but what's your potential outlook going into 2017? You know, considering some people think there's a little bit of slowdown, do you gents see any sort of slowdown heading into 2017 or anything that might be a bit of, you know, give you some caution? Thanks.
Thank you, John. As you well know, we don't give any guidance in this conference call. But to answer your question, Unifin is prepared And due to the backlog that Unifin has already for the next 12 months, and being able to make that backlog successful in a 45%, Unifin is confident that even though the economy might slow down a little bit, the SME market is continually requiring new facilities for their asset investment. So due to these strategies that Unifin has, we are prepared to look at 2017 in a very positive way.
Okay, thank you.
So I would like to make a comment regarding growth. We also expect that due to the size of our base of portfolio, we expect to grow at a smaller rate compared to what we have been doing in the last couple of years.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gabriel Nobrega from UBS.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking our call. I just wanted to understand if your cost controls are sustainable. Was there any was there something non-recurring in OPEX in 3Q? And what should we expect for the full year? And I'll make a second question after that.
Thank you. We will continue to be as efficient as we can with regarding OPEX. As you can see in the results for the quarter, even though we increased our operational expenses due to the growth of the portfolio, we were very efficient in the way we control our expenses, and we reduced our efficiency ratio being very positive for the company. The company for the rest of the year will continue with this strategy, and we will be very cost efficient regarding expenses.
Thank you. And my second question, it's actually about your equity assets. It fell again, and I just wanted to understand what is a sustainable level for you guys, and if you have any plans of a capitalization in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, as we have mentioned before, Unifin plans to maintain a healthy gap index between mid-teens. So, if we go below 13%, we will start reviewing the possible capitalization of the company. However, this is not a must. I mean, if we go below 13%, then we will be looking at possible new or follow-on on the equity side. But that would be only if we go below that 13%. Don't forget that the cap index registered this year includes the payment of dividends for 352 million pesos, which was above what historically Unifin has done in the past. And that was to pay a premium to the investors that had all that confidence in Unifin and invested in the company.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Veronica Uribe from Veforma.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations for your results. I have two quick questions. The first one is if you could give us a little more color about if the refinancing of the 2019 notes impacted the interest rate expenses and what can we expect to the following quarters. And the second one is if you could explain the increase in the position of assets on the lease during the quarter. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the first question, on the contrary, the interest rate of the notes, of the senior notes of 2019, were improving on the part, on the balance that remains from that note. That note has a balance up to now of $50.6 million, and the interest rate became fixed at a rate of 5%. Before that, the rate was variable, and it was TIIE plus 420 basis points after the cross-currency swap. So right now, we have improved the cost of interest for that note. Okay? And can you repeat the second question, please?
Yes. The second one is if you could explain a little more about increasing the position of assets on their lease during the quarter.
Remember that we own the assets that we lease. So the more we originate, the more the depreciation expense will increase. And remember something, we depreciate all our assets 20% yearly, and that gives us all in all type of assets. Okay? So it's not because of the quarterly report, it's the way that we originate, and because the assets is owned by Unifin, the depreciation grows in a direct way with your origination increases.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jorge Mauro from SPX Capital.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my question. It's relating the administrative and promotional expenses that increased 2.4% in this quarter. My question is, I think that you mentioned in a previous call that these lines should be approximately between 11 to 12% of total income. That was your expectation for 16, and it came at 7.2 this quarter. It was 9% the quarter before. So, I mean, year-to-date is below 9. I mean, any reason why, I mean, you have delivered this very strong results, I mean, in terms of maintaining your cost, and what should we expect for the future? I mean, is this 11 to 12 still valid, or we should work with the lower G&A moving forward?
Thank you. Well, the real reason is because we are being more cost-effective. We are being more efficient. We are reducing certain expenses in the company. And remember that our higher expense is basically salary. So we are reducing on other type of expenses, and we are being more efficient. That would be the answer. There's nothing really to worry about behind it. This we are trying to make this sustainable for the rest of the year.
But you think that 7% is a level we should expect moving forward?
We would expect to be a high single digit from now on. So it could vary from 7% to 9%. We expect to be around those figures. Remember that also we are opening new offices, and some of them are growing a little bit faster than the rest.
Right. Okay. And then another question on the tax rate. What tax rate should we work as a standard for the company? Has been below the statutory one. So, I mean, what should we expect for, let's say, this year and 17?
Okay, let's remember that our tax rate is in accordance to the Mexican tax law. So we are supposed to be taxed at a 30% rate. However, Let's consider that the current income tax rate is in accordance to Unifin's operational performance. The low effective tax rate achieved during this third quarter was driven by two main factors. The first is that during the third quarter of 2016, Unifin deducted the premium offered to the investors who participated in the early tender offer for the 2019 notes. And the second factor comes from the deferred income tax, which results from the difference between the fiscal depreciation and the accounting depreciation, given higher new volumes of equipment in leases. Remember, like I mentioned before, that we depreciate all our assets at a 20% rate. If you compare that rate to the fiscal rate, those vary, and those produce a deferred tax favorable to Unifin. So that is why we make a big difference on those taxes quarter by quarter. But at the end of the year, if you may recall, our average interest rate is close between 23 to 26%.
So for the full year, it should be between 23 and 26, and then the volatility is during the quarter. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Enrique Mendoza from Actinver.
Hi. I'm very glad to say hello again to the company's team. Just a follow-up regarding the operating lease revenues. I know that you were saying that the pricing hasn't been lowered. However, the quarter over quarter, the average effective yield has been lowering steadily. Do you believe that is the result of some revenues that you could have stopped registering? I mean, for example, accrued revenues related to some assets that are not performing in the same way as in the past, or maybe the change in mix is moving towards a less or a lower yield, or what could be the explanation for that effect?
Okay, if I understood correctly your question, I would say that all depends on the way that we originate each quarter. For instance, this quarter, equipment and machinery were higher in origination than transportation. So, but the spread or the yield is the same for all the assets that we lease. So there's no change in that. What happens is that the depreciation differs from one type of equipment to the other fiscally wise. But for us, the depreciation is equal for every single asset. That is what makes the deferred taxes account. So, I'm trying to answer the question because the spreads and the yields are the same for every single type of equipment. We do not, I mean, there's some variables depending on the quality of the client, the history of the client with Unifin. If it's already a client that's been working with Unifin for more than 10 years, so on and so forth. But that's according to the type of client that we have. And what other businesses that client is given to Unifin, insurances, factoring, or auto loans. But as a whole, There is no difference in the way we originate on the different types of assets.
Enrique, going forward, the income recognition coming from the increase in the leasing portfolio will continue to be deferred for the fact that we recognize a new contract in leasing, which will increase considerably the leasing portfolio size. However, in terms of revenue, we always have a delay on the recognition of income coming from several aspects that we have discussed before, like the establishment of guarantees, the availability of the asset, okay, and just the monthly payment, which is deferred, of course, for the leasing product. So going forward, you will keep looking at a deferred recognition of income.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Rocha from BTG.
Hi, Jose Maria and David, and just to get a sense on what's happening between the lines of other benefits from leasing and other leasing expenses, because in the last quarter, the expenses were much higher than the leasing revenues, and now on this quarter, the effect was inverse. So I had understood that on the past quarter, the residual, the difference between the book value of the asset and the market value of the asset was being represented on the leasing expenses. But now it seems the opposite has occurred, and the depreciation expenses increased a lot, which could give us a sense that you're back to putting the difference on the residual value and depreciation and not anymore.
This quarter, these items were positive for Unifin, turning around the negative impact we had seen in the prior quarters. As you may recall, until the second quarter of 2016, the difference between the book value and the residual value of the lease assets generally resulted in a loss for Unifin. This impact was booked under the other lease expenses, line item on the P&L. Following a recommendation for our external auditors, Pricewaterhouse, on the second quarter 2016 for accounting policies, and beginning the third quarter of 2016, Unifin is now booking the difference under the depreciation line item, given that depreciation corresponds to the productive life of the asset, which in the case of Unifin is the term of the leasing contract. All of the accelerated depreciation is no longer booked in other lease expenses, and now it is booked under depreciation line in the P&L. I hope this clarifies the difference.
No, just to get a sense. So after the second quarter, you started representing this figure again in depreciation expenses, or it's still the difference is being booked in leasing expenses?
No, the difference is booked in depreciation.
So, okay, yeah, on the first half of 16, it was booked on leasing expenses. So on the third quarter, it was booked on depreciation.
That's correct.
Yes, that is correct.
So that's why we're seeing a big jump in depreciation from the second to the third quarter. So there is an increase in the residual value of the assets that you're selling.
Yes, part of it is. Yes, the other one is okay. Increase of the origination.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Jose Klingsberg from Morgan Stanley.
Hello, congratulations on your results. Just a quick question touching on the issue of capitalization. Since there has been a decrease from 18% to 14% of your capitalization measure, do you think your current capitalization at 14% could pose a challenge towards future growth?
Not at all. Not at all. We don't see a challenge there. At the pace of growth that Refin is having, we don't see a follow-on on the equity side for the next couple of years. And again, for the company, go below 13% as a cap index, it would be a yellow light for the company to start analyzing what type of capitalization we would look forward. However, like I mentioned before, if you take into consideration the capital or the cap index that included $352 million paid in dividends for this year, if we would have done the same paid dividends as the rates that we historically do, the cap index would be higher than we had right now. Even though Unifin will continue to keep a watching on this index, so we could do what is necessary to control that.
Okay, thanks for the explanation. However, you're not too far away, you know, from that line. I mean, you're at 14%, 13%, you know, it's your final line. So you're not too far away from that. And if you do just a simple calculation, a 10% increase in your assets, and you're growing by much more than that, with a static capital number, takes you to 13%. So thus, you know, my concern, you know, capitalization-wise, if you have, you know, a more aggressive view towards increasing capitalization, given your very healthy but also high growth in assets.
Let's put it this way. Banks and rating agencies allow us to have a cap index of around 10%. When we issued our IPO last year, the cap index was around those figures. However, we were kind of tight at that point in time. That's why the company is being more conservative and making that as a strategy of the company for the future. However, I mean, having a 12% or 11% cap index would not be any threat to the investors. So, I mean, the company is very, very conservative and starting to understand below 13% what would be the best way for the company to increase the capital. So I don't see that as a threat. And for investors in equity, I'm pretty sure they would be glad if we could issue more equity at this point in time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Jose Maria Muniz for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thank you all for your trust and interest in Unifin and participating in our third quarter 2016 conference call. We look forward to continuing to getting to know you. In case you have any additional questions or any additional need for information, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our management team is here to answer your questions. We look forward to hearing from you and have a good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.